I just want to thank our worship team for, yes. Our worship teams have been committed through this whole year of this past 2020 year of showing up and swapping schedules and doing everything they can to help lead us into the presence of the Lord, learned new skills, done new things, and just really appreciate how they show up every Sunday morning to help us with this. Just appreciate your guys' hearts, and I just appreciate your dedication. I also want to invite others that have a gift for singing with a musical instrument to seek out our worship teams and see if you can get involved there. It's a wonderful ministry, and I really believe that the Lord is calling us into worship in this season, and just ever more. I know myself, I keep waking up with worship songs in my, like, on my heart, wake up and I've got a song on my heart. I'm like, well, this is, heard about these types of things and here it is happening. But the Lord has really been drawing us into worship, and we've been, and I say we, I'm talking about my family specifically, we've just been just playing a lot of worship music, singing, just having it in the background, throwing it up on the TV and just letting it rip. And it has been life to us in this season. At New Year's Eve, we had our pursuit night, and we had a bunch of folks here in the room with us, and we got to just praising the Lord as we were ringing in the new year. A few hours earlier than the new year, we had kids with us and whatnot, but it was just a wonderful time, about a little over an hour's worth of worship, and it was intense. I remember getting to the end of that and thinking, I think I could just keep going for a while here because this is just so good. We have the worship set up online and on our Facebook page. The playlist is still up there. It's a YouTube playlist. I encourage you, if you haven't engaged it yet, go out and just worship through it. It's good songs. We're just praising the Lord and really excited about what He's doing right now. So I encourage you to engage that. And if you've already engaged it, go back and dip through it again. I've been in that worship set several times, just thanking the Lord and praising Him and connecting with Him in worship. Before we get started this morning, I just want to pray and invite the presence of the Lord here into this message. So Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have here today. Lord, I ask that you would just sanctify my words, Lord, that they would be your words. Lord, that you would share your heart with your people today. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to teach us the things that we need to know. And Lord, fill in the blanks for our spirits. But the words that aren't spoken today, Lord, that you would speak words to our hearts. I thank you, Father, for how you are carrying us through this time. You're teaching us, you're training us, Lord, you're transforming your people, you're strengthening us, and we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for your victory. You have overcome the world, and we are yours. You are alive in us, Lord. Lord, I ask that we would step into new realities of walking with you. Step into whole new dimensions of following you. Lord, I ask that you would give us a passion in our heart to pursue you and your sanctification of us, Lord. As you grow us, as you mature us, as you allow us to put you on display to the world around us, Lord. Lord, that we would be living testimonies of your goodness, living testimonies of your grace. I thank you, Jesus. I welcome you here today. Lord, I ask for your angels to come and visit us here in this room, Lord, and in the rooms of the people that are watching right now, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've never left us and you will never forsake us. Through whatever we walk through, Lord, you have proven yourself faithful and worthy of all of our glory, all of our honor, all of our praise, Lord Jesus. It's yours. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, I spent some time taking us through kind of an overview of 2020 as it relates to us here at our Father's house, specifically. And I think that was important for us to do because we need to know where we've been in the immediate history of our Father's house and our walk. With all the fray that's taken place this year, I think it's helpful to just kind of look back and say, okay, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And here's how God was doing what he was doing, and here's how we've gotten to where we are now. We're stepping into a new year here now. We just did a couple days ago. And I think it's valuable for us to talk about where it is that we can see that the Lord is taking us in this next year. 2020 wasn't just a season of 2020 inside that year. Okay? If we think that 2020 was like a bypass and we're going to get back on the main road here and we'll keep on cruising forward as things were normal before 2020, we need to wake up. 2020 was not a bypass. 2020 was an on-ramp into a whole different highway. We're walking in a new season, and 2021 is going to be a continuation of what the Lord has already initiated in 2020. Am I saying that it's all going to be crazy and we're going to be wearing masks for the rest of the year? I don't know. But I do know this, that there's a shift in what took place that began in this last year. And God is after us and after our hearts in that season. How many times did you hear us talking about repent, focus on the Lord, don't turn from to the right or to the left, stay focused on Him, ask Him what it is that He wants you to give up in this time, pursue Him, engage Him, do the work with Him, trust Him, rest in Him. That was not just for the 2020 calendar year. God is calling us back very, very specifically in that season. And I believe as we step into this 2021 year, it's important for us to evaluate what we've come through, like we have, but say, Lord, how do you want to use what you have taught us as we move into the future here? We had a good pressure test in 2020. We found where our structure was strong, and we had leaks popping out all over the place. Not just here within the corporate house at our Father's house, because we certainly did. As much as we went and started patching things up and tried to build new ways of connecting and sharing, it felt like whack-a-mole. You get one problem solved, and then five other ones show up, and you're just going like this the whole time. But we experienced that in our own lives. I know I did. I experienced engaging in certain ways and then realizing there's other ways that I haven't yet. Or this stuff doesn't need to be dealt with. I can't even deal with this anymore. I need to put that off to the side. Lord, what is it that you want me to engage right now? And as we went through that process, I really believe the Lord was strengthening us as He was shaking everything that could be shaken and allowing us to hold on to Him. For those of us that did that work through the shaking to hold on to Him, while we may have lost some skin in 2020, I believe we were really strengthened in that time. We found purpose. We found relationship with the Lord. We found intimacy with Him. We grew. But it was not just for that season. It's for what is to come. If there was ever a time when it was okay to live with a comfortable, laissez-faire form of Christianity, if it was ever okay for that to happen, that season has drawn to a close. If you're a follower of Christ, it's time for us to get serious about our relationship with Jesus. Really serious about it. Being a Christian isn't just something that you have to do on the side. Being a Christian and a follower of Christ is everything. And it invades every other aspect of your life and takes precedence. Does that mean you can't have friends? Absolutely not. It means that you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ who has friends, you have family, you have a job, you have a community, you have a purpose in the earth. But your faith in the Lord, your pursuit of Him, your relationship with Him comes first and foremost in your life. God is engaging us in a major way. He's calling us to engage Him. 2020 was a wake-up call. And many of us have made that turn towards Him. But let's recognize that He is still engaging that. It's not something we just go put down now. He is engaging it, and he's drawing us even closer into it. I want to read a couple passages of Scripture here about some promises that we have in Scripture of things to come. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" These are still promises of the Lord. He's telling us what is to come. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Now, I would suggest to you, what we've been experiencing in 2020 have been waves of labor pains. Whether this is the actual end, I'm not convinced of that. I think there's much more that has to come. But I believe this is a pop quiz for us in how we respond to the labor pains that are sent on the earth. Because be sure of it, there will be a time when it does actually produce what the Lord is talking about in the Scripture. We as the body of Christ are being trained. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." You see, there's a process that the Lord speaks about. There's great turmoil that takes place. There's wave after wave after wave after wave of things that come and hit. When listening to Sam Solon this past year, and he talks about this specifically, when you have labor pains on a pregnant woman, you see those contractions start to happen closer and closer and closer together until the point where they're really literally on top of each other. And what the Lord is talking about here is about these types of tumultuous events that come one on top of each other to the point where you almost take your hands off and say, "I don't even know what to do anymore. I could respond to one of these, maybe two, maybe three, but by the time we hit 10, I just want to go hide myself in the ground." There will be a day when that happens on a scale that is unmatched by anything that has ever happened before in the history of the earth. When we look at 2020, you don't have to be overly observant to be able to recognize that there were incidences that just kept hitting one after the other to the point where the earth didn't have a response that was in proportion or adequate for anything that we were facing. Some people lost all hope. Others, hope turned back to the Lord. In that, when we recognize that we don't have it in our own strength to come to solutions here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've been in 2 Timothy a lot recently. I'd encourage you to go there and read it. Maybe a couple of times. I know others have been in this recently as well. I think it's a book that is in season right now. We're going to do 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 right now. But mark this. This is Paul to Timothy. "There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. These things are coming. We can see these already here. Now, why am I sharing this with you? It's important for us as the people of God to recognize that when the heat turns up, God gives grace to his people, but he prepares them ahead of time for what is to come. We'll be walking through, whether it's us personally, we, the body of Christ, will be walking through this season that is being prophesied in Scripture, which means we have to prepare ourselves for such times. Remember I said, we can't just have a casual, laissez-faire attitude towards what it means to be a follower of Christ. We've got to be firm in what's going, in who we are and what it is the Lord requires of us and how we represent him in the earth, because there will be pressure against us, not just light pressure. We just read about extreme pressure that's going to happen. Now, we here in America have a very sheltered Christian walk in many ways. We have brothers and sisters across the world right now, who are being martyred for their faith. They're having to make a decision about, am I going to still proclaim the name of Jesus, or am I going to get shot in the head, or worse? They have those very real decisions that they're making. Most of us here in this nation have never faced anything like that. But the Lord says that the body of Christ is going to face that, which means we have to prepare ourselves to be solid in our faith, committed to the Lord, and committed to one another. When I was asking the Lord about, or what's the focus this year? We're still in this season. Whatever it was that he initiated, we're still in it. But what's the focus this year? I think he gives us the times and the seasons, the demarcations there, to give us some amount of a schedule and checking back in with him and saying, Lord, what's coming next? We've closed that one year. We're stepping into another year. What is it that you want to do here? I come to the end of the year. I can review that year with him. And he said this to me, commitment. This year is about commitment. Commitment to him. Commitment to his word. Commitment to one another. He is training us in this season, in this year. I believe the things that we're going to see, the events that take place, what we respond to, what we choose to do here within our Father's house, are going to have the flavor of commitment to them. There's going to be that theme of the Lord saying, are you committed to me? Are you committed to my word? Are you committed to one another? I think all of those have been tested a bit this last year. It's no surprise. We've talked several times about the confusion that's been going on in the earth. The just outright demonic stuff that we've been seeing taking place in the earth. We've watched Christians and others just be sucked into what's taking place in the culture. We're taking our cues from the culture rather than from the Lord. And so we've been calling this whole year, come to the Lord, focus on him, stay focused on him, follow him, see what's taking place, but look to him for how we're going to respond to that. Let him lead us and guide us. We've seen divisions show up, fractures in relationships, people saying things to one another and acting towards one another in ways that 2 years ago we would never have thought was possible. But when we get pressure tested, we find those weak spots. All right, commitment to the Lord. Scripture is filled with a narrative replete with stories of people who are either committed to the Lord, lukewarm, wishy-washy on their response to him and their commitment to him, and those that are opposed to him. And as we walk through Scripture, we see God's promises poured out to those who are committed to him. We see him coming and disciplining those that are somewhere wishy-washy in there, and we see punishment exacted upon those who are opposed to him. God's called us to be committed to him, and it's for our good. It's for our good. Remember, he is playing out a drama across history, and we get to participate with what he's doing. Our lives are to be surrendered and submitted to him as we represent him in the earth. There's an honor in that. We're not the captains of our own destiny. We have free choice as far as whether we're going to follow the Lord or not. I choose to follow the Lord. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. This is in a chapter, in a psalm that David has written, talking about evildoers being prosperous and the people of God responding to that. Lord, how do I respond to this? I see good things are happening for them. And the Lord says, trust in the Lord and do good. Watch what he does. Watch how you're vindicated. Watch how your righteous reward comes forth. He rewards us for following him. He rewards us for doing good. He rewards us for committing our ways to him. Proverbs 16:9, we read this last week. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Now, we looked at that as far as, hey, 2020, we had a plan going in, and it just went a totally different way. The things that the Lord is speaking to us about came forward in ways we could not have even foreseen. He ordered our steps. And we see that. We should be making plans. We should be looking to the Lord. Lord, what's the next steps for us? This is what we're talking about here today. But he orders our steps. What actually comes forward and where we actually place our foot is something that he has ordained for us. He wants us to be following him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He has a plan for your life. Individually and corporately, he has a plan for us. We're to trust in him. Lean not on our own understanding. Submit to him. His ways are higher than our ways. His knowledge is higher than our knowledge. Everything he does is better than anything we could ever possibly dream of doing. And if we align ourselves with him, if we're committed to him, we will see his goodness shine forth in our lives. We'll be able to look back and say, Lord, you told us that we were supposed to do that thing back there, and we did, and look what you did. Lord, even though I messed up back here, you made up the difference. We're not going to get a perfect record in this. I love how Pastor Lanny puts it. We need to just keep giving the Lord our yes. Just keep giving the Lord your yes. Get faster at giving the Lord your yes. He's so good. This year, I don't know how he's going to do it, or what all the things are going to be, but he wants us to be committed to him. He wants us to grow in our commitment to him. That starts with us making a decision that we're going to do that. And I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I think those can be very wishy-washy for us. We need to, eyes wide open, very soberly, make a decision about whether or not we want to step into greater commitment with the Lord this year. It's a very real thing, and there's a promise in him saying, this year's about commitment. See, when he extends that to us, he's holding out his hand. He's saying, are you willing to commit to me? Are you willing to commit to me in a different level? Are you willing to go at risk with me and watch me do more than you could ask or imagine? Are you willing to step into a deeper level of relationship with me? There's a promise in there. Every time he does that with somebody, you just go read his word. That's the next one we're going to talk about. You read his word and you see what happens when people take him up on that offer. First person that comes to my mind right now is Gideon. Gideon, who's there in the wine press, threshing wheat, hiding. And the Lord gives him an offer. And he takes the Lord on the offer. Very shakily, by the way. How many times did he ask for verification? Yeah, three times. He kept being a little wishy-washy on this, but when he stepped into what God had for him, they delivered the nation. And they unified the nation. Hallelujah. Commitment to his word. God wants us to be committed to his word. He allowed the Bible to be written for our good. It is the revealed, infallible word of God. It's our standard. You want to check how you're supposed to live life? Go back to the standard. As you read it, it reads you back to you. Have you ever noticed that? And we find in there where we fall short. So the Lord can say, why don't you hand that to me now? We find in there where we've grown. We find in there what to aspire to. We find in there his words of life to us. We need to be committed to his word. Because as we read it, it will offend our mind. It'll offend our will. And it will call us into alignment with his purposes. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, this isn't a passage of Scripture that has to do with our marital relationships. But he uses what God has done and is doing through Christ as the standard that we call ourselves back to. And he says, look, the Word is meant to wash you. It's meant to cleanse you. Because God is building his church. Radiant, without stain or wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We need to be in his word. We need to be studying his word. We need to be asking him, Lord, just pull the marrow out of this thing for me. I need it in me deeply to nourish me, to strengthen me, to put guardrails on my life. When we know the word, we're able to identify false doctrine. We're able to identify patterns that are not of the Lord. We're able to stand firm on what it is that he has said, regardless of what we're hearing around us. We need to have his word buried in us. Now, there are people in this house who have done that and continue to do that. I would encourage you that this year, be committed to the Lord's Word. Get in your Bible. If you don't have a good Bible, go get one. I recommend a good study Bible. Order it on Amazon. Get a good study Bible. Get a Bible app on your phone. Let it read to you. Hear the Word. You know what's good about study Bibles is they've got all these cross references on them. I love that because I feel like that's the root structure that's underneath the surface. And you can start pulling these roots and end up miles away, centuries away, millennia away, and still see, look how this thing was rooted all the way back here. And look how God brought it to life over here. And it's connected with that thing over there. And holy smokes, look at that. He talked about that three times over here too. Did you know that word is only used once in the Bible? It's important for you to get in and just suck the marrow out of his word. In 2 Timothy 3, later on in that chapter, we hear this. Remember, we heard about all the evil things that were going to happen. But this is Paul saying to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." If you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. It's right there in Scripture. "While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those things, you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul lived out what he knew from the Word. He lived out his relationship with Jesus. And he's calling Timothy back to the same things. He says, you have an example in the earth, me. You know all these things, and I've lived them out. And here's what I'm saying to you. Know the Scripture like you do, and recognize that all Scripture is God-breathed. All of it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's preparation for the servant. We're saying the same thing here today. Get in the Word of the Lord. Not just by yourself, by the way. Get in with other people. I have a Bible study every Wednesday morning with a bunch of men, and we've been going at it for about 2 years in there. And when we bring forward a Scripture, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit brings forward with everybody else in the room there. Talk about cross-references. "Hey, Pastor Jay, check this out. It says over here this. Hey, that makes me think about this thing. Hey, have you ever seen this?" And we just start walking through the Word, and the Lord brings forth life in it. We're not alone in that, by the way. Others experience the exact same thing. Commitment to one another. I don't know how many times I've read this scripture this past year. I'm going to read it again. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." When you read 1 Corinthians 13, you know what love is. Bearing with one another in love from a place of humility and gentleness. That's a hard thing to do. You need the Holy Spirit to give that to you, to empower you to do that. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Show of hands, has anybody had to try to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in this last year? And that requires a great effort. It requires us to be on our knees before the Lord. It requires us to be humble. It requires us to be patient with each other and with ourselves. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." The Lord wants us to be committed to one another. You are never meant to be a lone ranger going through your Christian experience by yourself, facing the world on your own, just me and Jesus. You are meant to be part of the body of Christ. You are meant to give your gifts to the body, to receive gifts from others. You are meant to live in community, in communion with others. You are meant to learn how to defer to others. You are meant to learn how when one of us is suffering, we all suffer. When one of us rejoices, we all get to rejoice. To mourn with those who mourn. God wants us to be together. He doesn't want us to just say, I'm here with you. He wants us to say and show up, I am with you. He wants us to be available to one another. How many of you in your hour of need have called somebody up and they said, I'm there, and they showed up as soon as they could be, and it was the most comforting and strengthening and empowering thing that you could have had in that moment, knowing that you are not alone. And it's likely that many of us have been in a place where we couldn't even reach out to somebody before. The value of being committed to one another, to be able to stand locked arms or back to back with somebody else, is something that God has desired for all of us to experience. Here in our Father's house, we have a long history of this. But as I look across this past year, I can say, I think we could have done better. I think there are opportunities that we missed. I think we found some holes there. I think there are people who fell through the cracks. I'm thankful for those who had a strong safety net. But my heart is torn for those who did not and went into a dark hour by themselves. We can do better. By the Lord's strength, we will. John 13, 34 through 35. These are the words of the Lord. He said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The way Jesus loves. Not just treating others the way we want to be treated. But Jesus loved sacrificially. He gave his life. He humbled himself and put others above himself. Remember, he's washed their feet. He says the first has to be last. He gives the example of service. And I love how Peter, in 1 Peter 22, goes back and recognizes, you know what? It's all about love. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. This is Peter who did everything boldly and ran off the cliffs because he was trying to run hard after the Lord. And here he comes back and says, it's all about love. John, the same thing in 1 John 3:23. He reminds us, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Both of these men who walked with him, who loved him, who were embraced by him. This is what they say. It's all about loving each other. Remember, this is his command. Love one another. God wants us to be committed to one another. This year is about commitment. Commitment to him, commitment to his word, commitment to one another. As you see events that we're planning coming forward, if you're able, whether they're going to be in person or virtual, I encourage you to ask yourself this, is the Lord asking me to commit at another level with this? I mean, I could easily not go. I could easily not commit, but is he inviting me to commit in another way here? I encourage you to step out, step forward as you are able, as you are willing to go with him. because I believe there is promise for you in it, and there's promise for us in it. When we're putting forward opportunities for us to gather together, whether they're in person or virtual or mixed, as a leadership team, we're looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, what basket do we put our apples in right now? Because we want to put it in your basket. We want to be doing the things that are going to draw your people together, be building them, be strengthening them, be lifting your name on high, growing us, maturing us, blessing. We're not just looking to do busy work here, folks. We don't have time for that anymore. If we ever had time for it. We're not looking to just fill up a calendar. We're saying, Lord, if we're going to put an effort into something, we want it to be something that you want us to be putting effort into. I'm so thankful that we got to start or finish out this last year in worship to the Lord. I don't know how many times we've sang the goodness of God over the past couple of months, but I'm thankful for every single time. Because our hearts need to be reminded that He is good in the midst of whatever we faced. And our hearts know that He is good in the midst of whatever we have faced. Because even just in this last year, we can look back and say, look how God blessed me in the midst of this dark hour. Look how He strengthened me in this time. Look how He called me back to Him. Look how He showed up for us. Look how He healed people. Look how He restored people. Look how He gave people provision in this time. When all seemed bleak and like there was no hope, the Lord showed up with hope. The Lord was with me. He never forsook me. And He's with me now. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your strength. I'm going to leave you with this challenge this morning. Pastor Dan and Barb are going to come, and they're going to give us something for the kids, and also they're going to be leading us in communion. So before I step off the stage here, I want to make an appeal to you to commit to the Lord in a new level this year. Online too. Commit to the Lord at a new level this year. Engage with Him. Engage with Him. Engage with Him. Think about a transmission in a car. If you ever driven a stick shift, you know when you're slipping the clutch, right? We don't want to be living in that anymore. Think about that moment when those gears engage. Power goes to the wheel. You might have a little bit of a chirp going on there if you're really gunning it. But then you take off. Engage with Him. His promise is for you. He has promises for us. He wants to build us and strengthen us and renew us, restore us, because there is a day that is coming when we will need to stand and withstand under pressures that no one has ever seen before in the history of history. And it is only by the grace of God that we will be able to stand firm in those days. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the word that you're giving us, Lord, for this call to commit to you, Lord, to commit to your word, to commit to one another, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for for the activity that you are at this time in the world. Lord, we thank you for where we are in history. We thank you, Lord, that we get to steward your gifts and your graces and your callings in this time. Lord, let us not be a people that are without power, but that we are a people who see your divine power coming and intervening, Lord, as confirmation of your word. Bring forth healing and miracles, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us prophetically as a people, Lord, that we would value and honor your word, Lord. We would step forward, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would call us to greater righteousness. Greater personal purity, Lord, as we draw near to you. Lord, you said, be holy, because I am holy. Lord, call us into that. Let us step forward into that invitation, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that people's hearts would burn with the desire, Lord, to commit at a whole new level. They would burn with expectation, Lord, of what you're going to do. Lord, that we would run after you without hesitation, but with abandon, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This next time I come up and speak with you guys, I'm going to share with you just a refreshing of who we are here at our Father's house, what it is that we value here as a church. So much of the apparent structure of things has been diminished, but the core DNA of who we are at our Father's house has not changed. If anything, the Lord is continuing to add to it and strengthen it. So I'm going to review that with you guys so that we're all on the same page as far as what God has called us to specifically here at our Father's house. And the things that we say, Lord, these are priorities here in this house. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. Pastor Dan's going to be closing us out today. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great to see everybody here today. Well, we got something special for you. If you don't feel permission and you don't feel called after this to get through whatever, it's going to be in layman's terms. Barbara and I have something special for you, but I'm going to lead communion. And it's going. And as Pastor Jay mentioned, we're combining the children's message and communion. So hopefully, our young learners, it's for the young ones. But I do know that we also have some, people with generations on them that are also young learners. So may this bless you as well. So anyway, look, I see back there. I have my friend Lucy. Lucy, would you like to come and join me up here? Hi, Lucy.
Hi, oh, Lucy. You're five.
Say hi to Lucy, everyone.
Hi, Lucy.
She's five?
Five, half of the AM, five.
She's five.
Uh-huh.
Well, Lucy, we're going to do communion. Would you like to join us?
To do a communion?
Yes, communion.
What is communion?
So communion is an experience that Jesus shared with his disciples at the Last Supper, which was the last meal he had with them before he died on the cross. Mm-hmm. So a disciple, do you know what a disciple is?
Not really.
No, a disciple is a learner, kind of like you and your teacher being in a classroom.
Yeah, I was in there before COVID.
Yeah, probably not a good analogy there. So it's a teacher and a learner. Okay, and this is what Jesus said to his disciples at that meal. He said to them, he took bread, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
Oh, but then, I have a problem.
What's your problem?
Well, I put Jesus in my heart, and I know I had to ask forgiveness of my sins, and I did all that and everything, but, this morning, my brother took my Don. I had to punch him for it, so I kind of sinned today. I can't take communion.
Well, I see you got your doll back.
I did.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I'm really sorry to hear that he took your doll, and I'm really sorry also to hear that you punched him. You probably could have handled that a better way. So what you're going to want to do from here is to go and, first forgive him, and then go apologize for doing what you did. But you know what? That's the thing about communion, is it's Jesus saying, "I have forgiven you." And now he wants you to also share that forgiveness with other people. So when we take it, we're saying, "Jesus, I accept your forgiveness, and I'm going to also forgive." So yes, you can take communion today, even though you did that.
Even though I might have to do it again.
Well, I surely hope that you don't do it again. But you know what? Being a disciple, being a learner of Jesus is we're God is constantly changing us from the inside out. He's working in our hearts. So I hope that you don't do it again, but you never know. If you do it again, make sure you ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
All right, so are you ready?
Wait, Pastor Dan. I think you have to be like really old to take communion, like 30. I'm only 5.
Well, no, that's not true either. The only condition to take communion is to have Jesus in your heart. So do you have Jesus in your heart?
Yes, Pastor Dan, I have Jesus in my
heart. Okay. All right. Well, let us eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus, okay?
Oh, no, Pastor Dan. No, Pastor Dan. I'm a vegetarian. I can eat meat.
Okay, well, fortunately, this is only a wafer and juice. So even vegetarians can have this.
Okay, you had me scared, though, for a minute. So this is like a symbol.
Yes, very good. It's a symbol. And you know what I like about this symbol? Is Jesus finishes his message to the disciples and saying, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So the next time, this is God's promise to us today, is that he will eat and drink with us at his table again. Amen? Are you guys ready to share in this meal?
They're not very easy to open, Pastor Dan.
Yes, be very careful. They spill easy, too. Let us eat and drink. Well, Lucy, thank you very much for joining us today. Would you like to pray with us before we go?
Sure.
All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercies. Thank you for my friend Lucy, who was able to be here today. Lord, we just pray that you will continue to watch over her, bless her heart, and bless everyone else that's out there today. And Lord, I also pray a special request for Lucy that you will try to keep her from hitting her brother. In Jesus' name. And everybody said...
Amen.
Amen. Okay, bye, Lucy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Lord, for communion. We had just a word this morning that I wanted to share with you real quick, and an encouragement for you before we head out today.
Good morning. Before church today, I've been feeling this for about, I don't know, for a while now. I just feel excited. And I just feel a real excitement and fire in my spirit. And during worship, it almost felt like the Lord came up while I was worshiping and put his hand on my belly and just prayed for me and prayed for that fire in my belly. And I want to say that it's not because... it's not due to outward circumstances and things that I think that are going to change or be different. It's just really about God. And I feel really excited and a fire in my spirit about what he is about and what he's doing. And my sense is that there's probably others who have felt this fire and this excitement, and I don't want to pass this. I don't want to pass this opportunity without praying for all of you. And I want to say that maybe you've been feeling this or you want to feel it. Pastor Jay was talking about commitment this morning, and I just think this is part of it, praying for that fire in our spirit to be committed to the Father, committed to his word, and committed to one another. Also, one more thing. I never want an opportunity to pray for people to be a guilt feeling as well, like you have to get prayed for. If you don't pray for yourself this morning, that you are not where the Lord wants you to be. Keep this in your mind. Maybe that throughout the week you feel that it's time to pray. Okay, it doesn't have to be this morning, but it's that invitation of the Lord.
Will you pray?
Okay. So if you feel that you desire it or that you've been feeling that burning, I just invite you to place your hand on your belly. Father, I thank you for your invitation, calling us, Father God, to be committed, maybe for the first time, maybe at a greater depth than we've experienced, to you this year, Father. I pray, Father God, that the fire, the excitement, the stirrings that we've been feeling in our spirit and in our belly, Lord, I pray that you would come and you would impart your grace to see this expand and grow and just be burning for you, Father. I pray, Father God, that we would feel your burning within us so strongly, Lord, that others would see it and recognize it and feel it and be drawn to it, Lord. May we set our spirits and our eyes toward you, Father God. May we lock our eyes with you, Father. And Father, for those of us, Lord, who aren't quite sure if we're there yet, we're still feeling bruised and beat up from last year, Father God, but we desire it, Lord. I pray, Father God, that that desire will turn into a burning within us, Lord, for you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Lord. Well, as we close out today, I just want to remind you that if you'd like to give to our Father's house, if you're here in the room, we have a box in the back, but we also still have our Give Plus app and Vanco open for all that have been using that. Thank you very much for everyone who has continued to tithe and give generously to the Lord. I just received a message from Bishop Samuel in Kenya this week, just thanking me on your behalf for your faithfulness in giving. And was just talking about all the different things that they've been able to do this year because we've continued to be faithful to our commitment to them and to what the Lord is doing there. So I just want to share that with you and give you word of that. The Lord has really continued to bless all the efforts that are going on there in Kenya through Samuel. And it's in a large way because of your faithfulness to the Lord and your commitments to him. So thank you very much. Also, I wanted to say, invisible to most people here, we had our regular AV crew was unable to help out this morning, and so we had a stand-up crew that stepped in. Nancy Knight, Andrew Cosby, sorry Andrew, your name drew a blank on me, and Pastor Dan. All these folks, they stepped up this morning to just jump in there and do virtual church online with us and here in the room. So I just want to applaud them for their efforts and willingness to help out. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate that. And with that, we're going to close out today. Thank you very much for joining us. God bless you, and we will see you as we go through this new year together. God bless you. Bye-bye.